Please turn to John chapter 7, verse 14. I remember when I was in preschool. I don't know if you have memories of preschool too, but I was sitting at a table with this other student, I guess, in preschool, and we had an argument about where God is. And he said that God was down there. He was like, God is down there. And I was like, no, God is up there. You know, and I mean, I was actually pretty frustrated with this kid, you know, but the thing is, neither one of us knew much at all anyway. Like, where were we getting our information, right? So today we're going to be looking at, you know, who has the authority to say things about the Lord God. Let me read for us from the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 14. This is the Word of God. About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, "How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?" So Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" The crowd answered, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" Jesus answered them, "I did one work, and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with a right judgment." Let's pray. Oh, Holy Father, we know that you are amongst us by your grace. In the freeness of your riches, pour out upon us your Spirit that we might be enriched, and that we might live with a living hope in our living Savior, that we might live with a living faith, and most of all, have a living love. Amen. This week, as I was considering this message, I looked online for people who claim to have authority but don't really have that authority. I think many of you have heard stories about this sort of thing before. There were people who claimed to be pilots, but had really not studied or been accredited as pilots, who got jobs with airlines, and one of them got caught when she took a nosedive on the landing, into the landing pad. There were several others. Horrific things, really, that happened. The one that maybe is most relevant to us that I came across was a man who had posed as a Catholic priest, but had never trained, had not been accredited by a community of other authoritative people, but he can go and serve as a priest. And what did he do? He asked for money. I want to make a new film. So people gave him thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and all he did was videotape a film that had already been made. Another time, he wanted money for his venture to serve in another place. People gave thousands, hundreds of dollars to this man. It turns out he was no pastor. He was no priest. He did not have the authority to speak about God. He did not have the authority to call upon people to give money to the ministry of the church in the way that he was doing it all. Because of that, many people were angered, harmed, people's faith was shaken. He did great damage. Now that seems like an outlier. Well, it happens occasionally, yes, but not always. And I want to tell you today that it's not really an outlier. I mean, of course, that exact thing doesn't happen every day, but people in our world claim authority all the time. Not only to speak about God, but to speak about a whole number of things when they do not have the authority to speak on that thing, on that subject, and particularly on the subject matter of God. Sports stars, movie stars, telling us how to think about religious matters, political matters, military matters. And yet people listen to them as if they have the authority simply because they wear a jersey and can make 40 points in one game. There are many who come in the name of Jesus, even in the church, and will say, this is what Christ is about. This is what the good news is. This is what God is like. And yet they are not actually teaching the truth about Jesus. They are not actually teaching the Bible, the Word of God, and instead are only going up and promoting themselves for the sake of their own glory. Often we call these false teachers. It's not only the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses, but it also can happen inside of our own church. And so we need to be reminded, not really so much today, we won't spend so much time thinking about what gives a man like me the right to stand up in the name of Jesus and tell you about him. We're going to go back further. And we're going to look at the one who truly has the letters after his name. The one who truly has the authority, and why Jesus has the authority to teach us the truth about God, about what it means to know him, about eternal life. Jesus is the one who has all authority, and he is the one we look to learn the things of God. Verse 14, about the middle of the feast, this was the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. This was a feast in which their people were to be reminded of how God provided for them a long time ago in the wilderness when they lived in tents or booths or tabernacles. This was the most popular feast. Many, many people, not only from Israel, would be in Jerusalem, but from all over the world. Any Jew who may have lived in Syria or Turkey or North Africa or somewhere else would be coming to Jerusalem. A very, very popular time. In the middle of the feast, Jesus, who had gone up quietly, finally makes himself known. And he goes up into the temple, and he begins teaching. Now, to us, that sounds like, well, that makes a lot of sense. We know Jesus. He ought to be teaching, and no matter where he is in the temple. But you got to understand that this guy, he was viewed as a renegade by many. And the temple was like the center of Jewish consciousness, of Jewish identity. It's where the living God resided. And now Jesus is in the temple in the middle of this most important feast when Jews from all over the world are crowding in and Jesus is teaching. Note, by the way, if you were here 2 weeks ago, Jesus' brothers had encouraged him to go do miracles so that he could get glory from people. Jesus doesn't go and do the miracles. He's going and he's teaching the people. A good shepherd, seeking to guide them rightly. Well, what happens in verse 15? The Jews therefore marveled. And I don't like the word marveled. I mean, I do. It's a good translation. It's right. But we got to get a little bit deeper. Because if you say, I marveled at something, that's like I watched a talent show, right? And somebody was walking on the high wire and there were alligators underneath them, like clipping at their heels, and they started to bleed. And yet they made it across somehow. There's a marvel. That's wonderful. That's great. That's awesome. That's not how they were thinking about Jesus. It's more like they were bewildered. They were angry and bewildered and confused and frustrated. That's the meaning here. Because on one hand, well, just listen to what they say. How is it that this man has learning when he's never studied? They're recognizing that what he's saying is simply amazing. Yeah, he's talking about things like he knows what he's talking about. He's saying things you never heard before. This stuff is on point, but he's never actually gone to seminary. He didn't study under the rabbis like we did. And therefore, well, how does he have learning? It's not that they thought Jesus would be illiterate. All Jewish males would have been learning the Old Testament from their very youth. Children would learn the Bible. The Jewish people were illiterate people. But if you look, if you have an English Standard Version and you look at the translation note at the bottom, it says, how does this man have letters? You can think about that like PhD, right? How does this man have letters after his name? How did you get letters back then? Well, these Jewish leaders and these Jewish authorities, these Jewish rabbis had letters after their name because they studied under other rabbis. They went to what we would modernly call seminary. And so when they would go and teach, they would say, Rabbi Aki Chavez said, da 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 da. Or Rabbi this said this. Or Rabbi that said that. And that was how they had their authority. That's how they showed that they had the letters after their name. That's what established them as being able to speak about the things of God. But Jesus didn't have that. He never went to seminary. He didn't study under a rabbi. So where did he get these letters after his name? How did he learn these amazing things? But there's even more for them. For them, it's also not just like curiosity. How did he do this? But it's also like, he needs to get out of here. We're the ones who did all this study. And what Jesus has already revealed earlier in the gospel is they did the study to get the power so that they could get up in front of people, tell them about God, and receive glory from people. And Jesus is taking their glory. He just sounds too good. He's too good of a speaker. He's got things to say they've never said before. People like them better than they like me. Right? And they want to kill him. They want to kill him. We already know that from John 5 as well. So that's why they're bewildered, angry, frustrated. They don't get it. They want him to be quiet. But Jesus responds. Jesus answers them and says, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Isn't that funny? My teaching is not mine, but him who sent me. Ah, so where does Jesus get his letters from? God the Father. In what school did Jesus study in? Heaven. Who is teaching the teaching of the Father to the Son? God the Holy Spirit. Jesus' authority is higher than any rabbi of the time. Jesus' authority is higher than any theologian of our time. Jesus' authority is far beyond anybody's authority to speak on matters of God. That would include Muhammad. That would include those who teach Hinduism, Judaism. That would include people who teach philosophies today. Whether it be agnostic or atheistic, even those who speak to say that God does not exist, they do not have the authority to speak thus. You cannot prove that God does not exist, but Jesus came from God. Jesus has been taught by God, and so Jesus has the authority to speak about God. Now, of course, anybody can do that, right? You ever met somebody or seen somebody on the street who says that they're Jesus? Like, I'm Jesus, and here's what God wants you to do in your life, right? People who typically say that they're Jesus often think that what you ought to do in your life are things that actually Jesus never taught in the Scriptures. But we do know that it's easy enough for people to say that sort of thing. So how does Jesus justify his claim that what he's saying is true? He doesn't do it by saying all the rabbis are wrong, all the Old Testament is wrong, and what I've got is something new and better. Instead, what he says is this. If anyone's will is to do God's will, if anyone wants to do what God has instructed and guided them to do, okay, then they will know if the teaching is mine or if it comes from the one who sent me. What he's getting at here is this. God revealed himself long ago to the person of Moses, well, even before that, to Abraham and the fathers. But Moses received revelation directly from God in a very special way, somewhat similar to Jesus as he went up on Mount Sinai on a mountain, and God, in sort of a face-to-face manner, spoke with Moses. Moses gave the people instructions on how to live in the presence of God, how to worship, how to be a light to the nations who would come around. Jesus is saying that anybody whose will, including those rabbis and the Jewish leadership of the day, anybody whose will was to do what the Old Testament had revealed, which found its basis in Moses, if you guys are really all about Moses like you say you are, then you will know that what I'm saying is fully in keeping with what has already been revealed in the Old Testament. And by the way, this is why you need to read your Old Testaments. If any of you have not read the Old Testament, that is your job, either in the next 4 months of the year, or you make it the job that you have, or just start to read the Old Testament in a year today. You don't have to wait till January. You need to know the Old Testament. You can't understand the New Testament without the Old Testament. Well, anyways, he's saying if anyone's will has been to do what they've been saying, like you guys say you've been all about, then you're going to find that my teaching fits perfectly with what Moses always taught. That is how I can justify my claim. I'm not saying something entirely new. This is in line and in keeping with everything that's always been taught. And of course, rabbis, you guys who don't like me, if you're really about Moses, you'll like what I'm saying. The one who speaks in his own authority seeks his own glory. The one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Effectively, Jesus is an ambassador, sent as if from another country, to say exactly what the Father told him to say. And that's all Jesus is doing. He's not making new things up. He's saying what he's been told to say because that gives glory to the one who sent him to say it. He's not doing this for his own popularity. He's not doing it even to be liked. He's doing it because it's for the glory of God and for the good of all who will follow. He says, has not Moses given you the law? We've already spoken about that. The law is what was came through Moses so the people might be instructed in how to live with God and for God. And he says, yet none of you keeps the law. Yet none of you keeps the law. You see, that's where Jesus is undercutting their authority here. Yes, you have letters after your name, but you're really ashamed. Because the letters after your name are hollow, like some big statue that looks like it's solid and strong. And these rabbis were like these big statues that look so solid and strong, but when you knock on them, they're hollow. There's nothing to them. Because the things that they teach, they really aren't about those things. They break those things. They care not. It's like as if Moses' law was a stick and they're breaking it over their leg. And how does Jesus justify his claim that that's the kind of authorities they are, false authorities? Why do you seek to kill me? You break the sixth commandment. Of course, the people are like, who's trying to kill you? You've got a demon. It's like saying you're crazy. You're demented. What's wrong with you? Now, why did the crowd get so upset? It wasn't the Jewish authorities who said it, it was the crowd. It's like they love their teachers. These are their only teachers. These are their rabbis. You're attacking our rabbis? Jesus doesn't directly respond to it, but he gives them an example. He says, look, I did one work, and you all marvel at it. He's referring to when he healed a paraplegic. He raised a man whose legs were dead, and his whole body was his whole life was a mess. And Jesus took this man whose whole life was a mess, and he raised him up on his feet, told him to take up your bed and walk in newness of life. But you know what? It was on the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, the day that God had commanded that on that day you rest from all work and you worship God. And so the Jewish leaders of that day, with their false authority, wanted to kill Jesus for healing a man on the Sabbath because they say he did work. Moses gave you circumcision. Jesus is about to show you just the kind of authority, just the very kind of letters he has after his name. Pay attention to his argument here. I did one work, you all marvel at it, you want to kill me for it. But think about this. Moses gave you circumcision. Circumcision was a ritual that was to be applied to all male Israelites on the eighth day after they were born. This ritual of circumcision was applied to one part of the body, and when it was applied, it was a way of really bringing life into the community, being included within the community. It's a symbol, really, of life, the beginning of a new life with God, applied to just one part of that person's body. In a sense, it's almost like healing that one part of the body. It says, Moses gave you circumcision, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. Ah, so wait a second, I thought you weren't supposed to do work on the Sabbath, right? Jesus is like, oh, I'm not supposed to heal on the Sabbath, but you guys, you say you can circumcise on the Sabbath. You get it? See, if a kid was born, and his birthday, the eighth day, fell on a Monday, circumcised. If the eighth day fell on a Thursday, circumcised. If the eighth day fell on a Friday, circumcised. If the eighth day fell on a Saturday, whoa! Why? That's a work, right? We're not supposed to do work on the Sabbath. But the rabbis at least recognize this. No, but in order not to break Moses' law, we're going to do the circumcision on the Sabbath. And so Jesus says, how silly is this? You guys will do for part of a person what ought to be done on the Sabbath. But when I heal a man's entire life on the Sabbath, you want to kill me? What's really going on in your heart? Jesus, in teaching this, is not simply making a good point about his right to heal on the Sabbath. Jesus is making a great point about who he is and what he has come to do. Do you remember the beginning of John? In 1:17, it is written, through Moses came the law, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What Moses gave was partial. What Moses gave needed to be fulfilled. What Jesus brings is that fulfillment. Jesus brings the fullness of the meaning of circumcision. Jesus brings the fullness of the meaning of a Sabbath with God. Jesus Christ takes everything that God had legitimately revealed through Moses and brings it to its fulcrum, to its highest point, to its highest glory as he comes to bring wholeness to all of creation and to all of you who believe in him who legitimately has the letters after his name to bring you to God, to give you eternal life, so that you might know God forever. Don't listen to people about Jesus if they're on Twitter and have lots of followers. Don't listen to people on TikTok who've got lots of people who like what they're saying if there are no legitimate authority on Jesus. My friends, first and foremost, give yourself to the Word of God that makes the Lord Jesus Christ known. And listen to ministers and teachers who are doing nothing but saying what is here and keeping Jesus Christ front and center in it all. If I'm ever up here And Jesus' death and resurrection are not at the center. I ask you, cut off my microphone. This has to be it. And Christ has to be at the center of it all. If you ever end up at a church where it's not, you need to go. Because the letters after their name are hollow. And pray. Pray for ministers like myself. That we wouldn't simply teach these things, but that we would live these things as we ought. And speaking of authority and false authority and making sure we pay attention to right authorities, I was reminded of a time in seminary. I was in a big class, about 100 people. It was called Covenant Theology. There was a guy named Rory. And the professor asked a question, and Rory was from England. And so Rory answered it, and it was a good answer, and the teacher said, good answer. But then this guy, Rob, from the South, United States, he raised his hand. Rob would always say these funny things. He said, Professor Williams, that's not fair at all. Because whenever Rory says something with an English accent, he already sounds like he's right. Just, you know, by virtue of having an English accent, he already gets credit because he sounds so much smarter than we do. Just because somebody has an English accent does not make them right. Just because somebody talks about Jesus doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. Christ knows what he's talking about. Pray for Christ to teach you. Pray for the Holy Spirit to teach you. And pray for godly ministers to fill the churches of this earth so that the Lord, Jesus Christ, who has the authority to speak on eternal life, by the Spirit might speak it to the people of God. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, make your word to fly in our lives. Grant us to understand the higher things that Jesus teaches. Let us know you. In Christ's name, amen.